Okay, if everyone could please kindly be seated. As I mentioned last night at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, the Masorah we have from Rav Moshe Feinstein is that the only simcha, the only happiness we have, the only thing that we have is Torah. Without the Beis Hamikdash, the only thing we have is Torah. And therefore, it is appropriate that even though we cannot learn Torah today, that we hear Divrei Chizuk from those who are at the forefront of bringing Torah to our community. There is no one can deny that the Kol Merkaz Torah in our community has brought tremendous amount of growth in all ways, in all different aspects of our community. And of course we have to thank the Chavrei HaKolel, who many of us in Anshei HaMes know very well and become beloved to the community. But of course, at the head of the Kol is Rabbi Graydon. Rabbi Graydon, as we all know, was beloved even before he started the Kol Merkaz HaTorah. But certainly now, with the explosion of Torah in our community, we have a tremendous amount of Hakaras HaTov and gratitude to Rav Graydon. Therefore, it's very appropriate, I think this is the second or third year that we have the honor to have Rabbi Graydon speak to us at this time, especially at this time when it's very difficult. We're not allowed to learn Torah, but it is appropriate that we hear words from someone who brings so much Torah to our community. It's our kavod to have Rabbi Graydon address us.
Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph. Tells us something that would seem to be totally tangential to the inyanim of Churban Beis Hamikdash, of the destruction of the temple, but in fact it's not. The Gemara tells the following story. You may know that from Tanakh that Chizkiah, the great king Chizkiah, was extremely sick. And he was basically destined to die. The reason he was sick, Yeshaya Novi told him, was because he didn't want to have children. The reason he didn't want to have children is because he saw the Nevuah that he would have a son called Menashe, and that Menashe would bring a tremendous level of Chilul Hashem and Avodah Zorah to the world. Didn't want to produce that son. And Yeshaya told him that was none of his business. That he needs to be mekayim the mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah of Pur Ravu. So Chizkiah was well known as a king, he was well known he was sick, and he had a miraculous refuah. So what happened was, the king of Babel wanted to send him a letter in honor of his refuah. One king to another king is going to send him a letter in honor of his good health. So the following occurred. Kosvele. So they had a scribe write the following words. Shalmu l'malcha Chizkiah. Peace be to the king Chizkiah. Shalom l'kata di Yerushalayim. Peace be to the holy city of Jerusalem. Shalom l'nekor rabba. And shalom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great God. Nebuchadnezzar Safre di Baladon Havi. The king of that nation was Baladon, and he had an official scribe, and the official scribe was Nebuchadnezzar. But Yahi Shaitul Havi Hassan, at that moment, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't at his desk. So when they came to write this, letter, it wasn't written by Nebuchadnezzar. Kiyosa, when he came, Omalu Hechikasvisu, he met the secretary who'd written the letter. He said to him, "Tell me, what did you write?" So he said to him, told him what he wrote. So Nebuchadnezzar said to him, "What are you talking about? Karisu le korabo, you're calling him the great God. For Kasvisu le basol, first you introduce yourself to send greetings to Chizkiah, then you send greetings to Jerusalem, and then to God. What's the matter with you? Elohi Kasvisu, this is what you have to write. Shalom le korabo, you have to send greetings, kaviyachol, to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Shalom le kartid Yerushalayim, to the holy city of Jerusalem. Shalom le malke Chizkiah." What tells a Mavaldika thing? The one person had already left with the first letter. So Nebuchadnezzar ran after the first Shaliach to retrieve that letter, to replace it. And he ran four steps. Came the Malach Gavriel and stopped him from running any further. Because Chazal say, Om Rab Yochanan, Mole lo bo Gavriel ve'emida lo hoya takona l'sineim shel Yisrael. There was so much schar that Nebuchadnezzar got for this step of Kiddush Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar was an atheist, maybe he was, who knows what he was, but in his personal life. But he understood that if you're writing a letter, the Rabbeinu Shem comes first. And he was prepared to make an effort to run after the first Shliach to rewrite the letter and to replace it. So that was a message of Kvod Shamayim. He did that thing in honor of Hashem. Because he did it in honor of Hashem, it was a public Kiddush Hashem, he was creating a huge bank of reward. So along came the Malach min Hashamayim, and the Malach prevented him from running further, because if he had got any more strength, he would have destroyed Klal Yisrael. How would he destroy Klal Yisrael? So the Vilna Gaon says, because of the steps that he took to run after the Shliach, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ani emale kol mishalos libo, I'll fulfill the deepest desires of his heart." And the deepest desire of Nebuchadnezzar's heart was to destroy Jews. So it's a whole weird picture. Here's a man formally writing a letter that's got to be written correctly in order to honor Hashem, but his deepest desire is to destroy Klal Yisrael. Anyway, that's subject of a different shir. That's what he's doing. So the Malach prevented him going any further. So the whole destruction of the first base of Mikdash, which was Nisgalgil Alidei Nebuchadnezzar, came through Nebuchadnezzar, was a payoff for having done something that covered Hashem. It's very enigmatic. I'm telling you that for a reason. The Gemara in the next Amud says the following. The Gemara says like this. Where do we see that an Eved was Machabed Adoinov? Where do we see an example in Tanakh where a servant was so carefully honored his master? So the Gemara quotes the following verse. It's a verse in Yirmiyahu. O b'chodesh ha-chamishi, in the fifth month, b'asar l'chodesh, the tenth day of the month, today, Hishnas Chayes Rishonon Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavil. Bo Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim Omad Lifnei Melech Bavil B'Yerushalayim. It was on this day that Nevuzaradan, the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar, came and presented himself and stood in front of his master in Jerusalem. Vayisroi V'Espeis Hashem V'Espeis HaMelech. And he went and destroyed through fire the house of the Rabbeinu Shloim Klal Yisroi. So the Gemara asks a technical question. Umisalik Nebuchadnezzar Yerushalayim. So you're telling me Nebuzaradan, the executioner, stood in Yerushalayim in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar. That's what the verse says. But we have a conflicting verse that says that Nebuchadnezzar person never went to Yerushalayim. Because it says, Voksiv in Malachim Beis, Vayalu Oysa El Melech Bavel Rivlosa, where they needed to communicate with the king of Bavel, they went to Rivlo. And Rivlo was outside Eretz Yisrael. So you have a contradiction. Where was he? He was in Yerushalayim or he was in Rivlo? So the Gemara's borrow that he was in Rivla. He never came to Yerushalayim. He never came to Yerushalayim because he wasn't foolish. He was scared stiff. All that he destroyed, with all that he made Chariv, he was scared. That's why he said Nebuzaradan. But Nebuchadnezzar was a terrifying person. He was a person, he was a cripple. He was very tiny. He was revolting. He was lived away from people. The Gemara says on Shabbos, for the 40 years that he was a king, nobody smiled. Because anybody smiled, he sent the KGB right over, what are you smiling? What's making you so happy? And since he didn't like people smiling, nobody smiled. 40 years, a person was matil such an aim on the world, didn't come to Yerushalayim. But Nebuzaradan came to Yerushalayim. So he came to Yerushalayim. And what happened then? For Nebuchadnezzar, for Nebuzaradan, the executioner, it's viewed as if he was standing in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, but he wasn't. So the Gemara explains this in two ways. Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi, they want to resolve this conflict, this contradiction in the Pesukim. Chad Omar Dmus Diuknoi Hoysach HaKukulo Alver Kapta. The first one says, Nebuzaradan had an image of Nebuchadnezzar engraved on his chariot. So wherever he went, he was standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And since he was a terrifying person, you would see this image, you would be scared stiff. That's the first mandama. The second mandama says, Eimo yeseiro hoiso lemimenu. He had such an excessive fear of Nebuchadnezzar. As if he was standing in his presence. That means, even though he physically was distant from Nebuchadnezzar, he was accountable to Nebuchadnezzar, and he felt that so powerfully that he was trembling in his boots in Yerushalayim as if he was standing right in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore the Pasuk allowed itself to write that he was standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar in Yerushalayim. So I heard from my Rebbe Shlita Avner Rifu Shleima, what's the pshat in the Gemara? What's the Gemara mean to say? I want to say a very simple thing. We know that every punishment that comes to the world, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world, is always midah keneged midah. It's a reflection of the sin has to be experienced in the punishment, has to be visible in the punishment. This was the destruction of the first temple. The first temple, Nebuch, Chazal tell us the Jews practiced Gilearoyes, Avodah Zarah, V'shvichas Dam. They practiced idol worship, immorality, murder. See in a second perhaps exactly what to say about that. There were cardinal sins, major sins. So a person's about to do Avodah Zarah. So I said to hey Moish, what are you going to tell God when you're doing Avodah Zarah? One day you're going to be accountable. You know, you have to meet the Rabbi Nishan. What are you going to tell him? He did Avodah Zarah. So the next guy is doing Shvichas Dami. You're murdering somebody. What are you doing? There's a Rabbi Nishan in the world. So it was, aha. In Shulchan Aruch it says, can't turn the first page of Shulchan Aruch without saying, it's the obligation of every Jew, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi, a Jew is required to live with the image of Hashem in front of his eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that a Jew has to live with the image of him in front of her eyes means it's possible to do so. You don't need a graven image. You don't need an idol. It's possible to have the image of the Rabbein Shem in front of you just through Yirah Shemayim. It's possible to do that. So why did Klal Yisrael not do that? It's hard. We don't relate. It's not the way we think. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He taught them what it means, Shivisi. He sent a man who lived Shivisi Nebuchadnezzar and Egdi Tomit. That wherever he goes, he's shaking in his boots, he's accountable to Nebuchadnezzar. It's interesting, if you'll read the history of the Second World War, you'll see the people who were responsible to Hitler had exactly the same feeling. The German officers responsible to Hitler, wherever they were, they trembled. There was always a fear, such a lunatic. A person with no boundaries, a person controlling everything. It's was able to evoke a massive fear in people. That's a negative fear. That's a controlling fear. That's a churban. But the musik, the concept that exists in the world, that a person can function without having to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in front of his eyes, but you can create a Kodesh Baruch Hu in front of your eyes. And that's the barrier that's required in order for a person to be able to have to serve Hashem, that you lost, that you don't understand. I'll send you a shliach, I'll show you very nicely how to do it. He'll do an execution standing in the Beis HaMikdash in 2 days of 940,000 people. Nebuzaradan killed 940,000 people in the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash to try to stop the blood of Zechariah, the murdered prophet, from bubbling. Blood was bubbling, wouldn't stop. He said it'll make it stop. He slaughtered 94 units of 10,000 people. 940,000 people in a couple of days. Mind-boggling. And all how? Because of the fear that he had for Nebuchadnezzar. You see, in this Gemara, though, a very interesting dichotomy. Phenomenal thing. That we saw that on the one hand, Nebuchadnezzar wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, he wants to write the letter properly. So that you could explain, you know, he's like a German. You know, the Germans want to do everything in order. It doesn't mean anything, it's just the nature. He wants to do it in order. But at the same time, Nebuchadnezzar is careful after he issues a decree and ensures that it will be fulfilled. He issues a decree that all Jews should be slaughtered and murdered and the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. He carefully avoids coming to Yerushalayim. So he's living in a world of stiras. He's living in a world of complete contradiction. He has a certain fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he's a powerful individual with a personal rotzen. He was a Rasha. Nebuchadnezzar was a Rasha. He wasn't the person who made a mistake. It wasn't the person who was confused. It was a Rasha. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when he died and his neshama came to Gehinnom, the Rishonim and Gehinnom were frightened. That's how dangerous he was. So, we should look a little bit for a few minutes at our own dichotomy. Listen to how the Vilna Gaon describes Klal Yisrael. This is a most amazing parsha in Shir HaShirim, and it's an insight into the depth of what Klal Yisrael is. The pasuk is in the fifth chapter of Shir HaShirim. It's the seventh and eighth pasuk. Psukim, according to the Gaon, interpreted there for Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says like this: the Divrei Knesset Yisrael Kishim Hodiyal Eze Inim Achur Benimitz Teres Biyosef. Klal Yisrael is speaking out through the words of Shlomo Melech what they're going to regret about Churban Beis HaMikdash, about distance from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So they say the following: Hikuni, they're telling the Malach, go and tell Hakadosh Baruch Hu, tell our beloved one, that we, the Jewish people, recognize Hikuni. We've been hit. The Goyim have hit us. I'll come back in a second. Hikuni is self-explanatory. Goyim know how to hit. Patsuni, they're giving me wounds. Goyim know how to inflict wounds. Doesn't need an explanation. Nasu esradidi mi'olai shomri achoymos. They remove the crown from my head. The people are guarding the wall. So what does this mean? Says the Vilna Gaon, Hikuni. Kamash Chazal Nosen Einov B'Mikdash Rishon V'Horag Tamid Echachamim Shebo. Part of the Churban Beis HaMikdash was a deliberate murder of all the Tamid Echachamim. Nosen Mikdasheni V'Horag Tamid Echachamim Shebo. When it came to the Tamid Mikdasheni again, there was a specific Hairah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens, destroy Tamid Echachamim. Listen carefully. Klal Yisrael, when they say Hikuni, Hikuni means they hit me. Everyone understands what it means. You're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We've been hit because we're your children. No, that's not what they mean. When Klal Yisrael talks from the depth of its neshama, Hikuni means we lost Tamid Chachamim. That I was hit, we'll get over that. We'll survive that. So I was hit, probably deserved it. But they took away the Tamid Chachamim. Where's the Churban for Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael recognizes the Churban lies without Tamid Chachamim, we don't exist. So we're telling Rabbanu, we ask us, how do we feel and how do we respond? They took away Talmidei Chachamim. What's Pitzuni? Hikah v'hichri v'eretz Yisrael. V'nase p'tzoyim v'eretz Yisrael b'kama yoris. And the Kedusha v'eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, was destroyed. The Pasuk translated by the human being talking about himself. Hikuni u'pitzuni. Makes perfect sense. I was hit, I was wounded, I was battered, I was thrown, I was abused. That's not what Klal Yisrael tells the Rebbeinu when they talk to him. When Klal Yisrael talks to the Rebbeinu Shleilim, Klal Yisrael tells the Rebbeinu Shleilim where our spiritual pain is. They destroyed the Talmidei Chachamim and they took away Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael. They destroyed Eretz Yisrael. Next thing is talk about Beis HaMikdash. Hishbati eschem b'nois Yerushalayim. So Klal Yisrael says, we are making you swear, you b'nos Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem. Who are the daughters of Jerusalem? So those are Yud Beis Malachim Hasovim Yerushalayim Shelemalo. These are 12 angels whose designated job is to travel around, watch over and travel around Yerushalayim. So they're 12 special angels whose job is oversee Yerushalayim, protect Yerushalayim. And Klal Yisrael is talking to them after the Churban. And they tell him, Im Timtzu Es Doidi, if you'll ever get an audience by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Ma Tagidu, what are you going to tell him? We're talking to you. We want you to give a message to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So what is it you're going to tell him on our behalf? So if you see him, Rak tell him, Shecholas Ahava Oni. We are lovesick. Klal Yisrael is lovesick. This is the hardest burden to bear. Mashu nifrad b'meni, what the Rebbeinu Shalom has separated himself from us. These are the words of the Vilna Gaon. Klal Yisrael goes through a destruction, a holocaust. Klal Yisrael doesn't mean there's no individual called Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the neshama, is the essence of Klal Yisrael. So when Shlomo Melech is writing a sefer in the Vilna Gaon, he explains what the neshama feels. The person has gone through the most unbelievable persecution, inconceivable persecution. I remember a friend of mine telling me his father was a chaplain, I think in the British Army in the Second World War. So they came into concentration camp or work camp, whatever it was. And as you know, the situation was very dire, and people, when they saw the American and British enter, they had food and they had this, they were giving out, so people jumped on them, many people died simply from overeating. Just the pressure, they were unable to digest the food. But he remembers, this chaplain remembers, there was one yiddle lying on the floor, probably couldn't move, a little blanket on himself, blanket means a thickest piece of paper, was lying on the floor. So they go to him and say, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And obviously help him. The man weighs 65 pounds. He needs plenty of help. So how can we help you? So the man says, do me a favor, give me a Gemara. 6 years, I haven't seen a Gemara. Give me a Gemara, give me a Talmud that I can look into. So it's an explicable thing. Person lost everything. He lost his parents, he lost his wife, he lost his children, he lost his brothers, he lost his sisters, he lost his village, he lost his rabbi, he lost his shtot, he lost his shaykhit, he lost his money, he got nothing. He's put them in a clothes on. What does he want in the Gemara? What's going to happen in the Gemara? Because Shlomo Melech said, ki choylas ava. Because a person is choylas ava, because that's what I want. It's not going to make any difference. I've already learned now the hard way. Everything else doesn't make any difference. There's one thing a person has to cherish, and that's the neshama. There's an old story written by one of the Rishonim that a person was traveling, and he was on a boat, and the boat sank. I don't know exactly the story, the details. It's a written-up story. And he lost his family, he lost everything, and he said to the Rebbeinu Shem, you already took away my family, took my children, took everything else. But one thing you can't take away is you can't take away my love for you. Now, we don't understand that, because doesn't mean he doesn't love you. I mean, make up your mind. If he took it all away, so apparently he doesn't love you. So life is more complicated than that. It's not so simple. But there's a point that we need to understand from all of this. This is lofty talk. This is talk that's above us. We struggle. But let me tell you what is critical, what's important. There's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael was guilty of a sin when Yehoshua ben Nun, Joshua, passed away. Klal Yisrael was guilty of a sin. They didn't eulogize him, Maspidim Karoi. They didn't eulogize him properly. That's the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking of picking up the mountain and dropping it on them and destroying them for the chutzpah of not being maspid Yeshua ben Nun Karoi. So, what do you mean they weren't maspid? Yeshua ben Nun was the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. He captured Eretz Yisrael for them, he distributed Eretz Yisrael, he divided it up for them. What exactly did they get wrong about Yeshua ben Nun? What did they think? What was there not to be maspid? A six-year-old kid could have been maspid in Karoi. What does it mean there was Atzal Vespedo? So there are two explanations to this. But the one I'm quoting today is a medrash in Rus Rabbo, where the medrash asks this question. And the medrash says to them, medrash says they were misatzal Vespedo shul chacham. They were lazy, they weren't able to do this hesped properly. Why? Because hoysa ha'aretz chaviv olehem b'yoser. Because they just entered Eretz Yisrael, and they were too attached to the land. Was they were too excited by the newfound wealth, by the newfound land, by the future that it promised to them. And even though these were holy people, these are people who'd been with Moshe and Aaron in the desert, they just entered there to soil, they saw multitudes of Nissim, they looked a lot better and healthier than you and I. But when it came to the hesped of Yeshua ben Nun, and there wasn't the passion that was required, and the sense of desolation by his passing wasn't there, because after all said and done, part of them was connected to the Oretz. Not the Kedusha's Oretz, the Oretz of the Oretz, the land. So the pshat is that a person is only able to experience spiritual things. There was nothing that people didn't understand about Yeshua. They understood his greatness. They understood his sacrifice. They understood the life that he led. They understood the capacity he learned. That he was zochah to be the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Mash. He never ever moved away from for years and years and years. Gave everything in the world for Torah. Nobody misunderstood that. But when they said the hesped, a couple of guys looked at their clock. Said, okay, it's time to feed the cows. In other words, maybe the sprinklers haven't gone on yet for the... Didn't disagree with anything he said. There was nothing to disagree with. That's called Misatzel Bespeda Shulchachon. You don't get it. You don't understand. The whole world just collapsed and you're trying to find out when to feed the cows. So, we have a problem. We have a Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av is a day where we know until, I don't know whether it was 60 years ago, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, basically, any Orthodox shul who went into the world, people sat on the floor and cried. And today, people look at the watch. It's a fact. Nobody's crying. Everyone's, you know, it's a day like any other day, which is a day like this. So we do it. We're from a yidden, we do it. And we have all sorts of, I don't mean entertainments to be naked and facetious, but also things, videos and this. What happened 100 years ago before they had a video? What do people do all day long? It's all distractions. It's because we're not able to connect. So why aren't we able to connect? So there's a variety of reasons. The most serious reason we're not able to connect is because we've lost our appreciation for what is significantly spiritual. We're all spiritual people, and we all do mitzvahs, and we all love Torah, but we're bound up in so many other things, maybe involuntarily, but we're bound up in so many other things that we're completely unable to sense a spiritual loss. You have the passing of a man of the caliber of Rabbi Yoshiv. Rabbi Yoshiv would have been called a great man 500 years ago. A person who knew the Torah that he knew and learned with the Hasmar that he learned hundreds of years ago, was battling with the Kavega and the Chasam Sofer, he would also have been a Gan Tzfeinah Talmid Chacham. In this generation, he so surpassed the generation, nobody can even explain what it is, because the depth of his connection, his learning, and his Hasmada and his Yerushalayim, we don't have the words which describe it. It just rings false and silence. We can't connect. We don't connect over there. But you have the passing of a man of the caliber of Yoshiv. It goes past. It's past. Okay. Somebody pointed out, there's a Talmud Chacham here listening for it, someone pointed out, he says that 30 tzaddikim passed away this year. Well, certainly many. Scheinberg passed away. I mean, there's a whole list of unbelievable people. People who knew the whole of the Shulchan Aruch the way you know Ashrei. No, much better than you know Ashrei. You know Ashrei can't translate it. They can learn the Shulchan Aruch, they understand it. And for us, it's just, it goes past. It keeps going past. Everything slips away, it goes past. So the secret for that lies in the fact that the Oretz is Chaviva Aleinu B'Yosef. That's because after all said and done, we live in a country, we live in a culture, we live in a climate where what's going on around us is important. We're connected to it. And we're not going to change that so quickly. We didn't make that up. It's not that we got out of bed trying to do that. It's just the way it is. That's where we live. That's what we're surrounded by. But that's why we need to understand how we need to be mechazik ourselves in ruchnius. And the right way to mechazik yourself in ruchnius, strengthen yourself in spirituality, at a simple level, we're talking about massive overtones, is that the time that we dedicate to learning and to davening should be complete. If we at least put the phones away, everything that distracts us, everything that can call a person, beep a person, ring a person, text a person, email a person, fax a person, tweet a person, I don't know, I have any verbs left to, how many times a person can be distracted in the course of 10 seconds. If all of this goes away, and a person walks into a Beis HaKnesses, he's going to daven, doesn't matter what goes on in the whole world, he's going to daven. You know, every time the door opens, generally Mashiach doesn't come in the door. I have to study who's coming in. Generally it's not Mashiach. The Mashiach will probably let you know before he comes in. Somebody sneezes. It doesn't matter. Somebody sneezes. We have to check out who it was. Where somebody talks. It turns out. I mean, where are we? To train ourselves that spiritual activities are real. When you go to a shir and the Rav or the Rebbetzin is giving a shir, so you give the full attention to the shir. Full attention. Don't be distracted in any way whatsoever. So at least the impact of the Torah, whilst the Torah is being taught, can have an impact. Otherwise, we're even driving it out before it comes in. Forget about what we are outside the Torah. We're driving it away before it comes in. If you understand, that's really the omic of the pshat in Tosis and the Masechta Brachos Tosis. There's a big question, a halachic question for today. We just, that, you know, when we do a mitzvah, like a sukkah, and we leave the sukkah, when we come back, we make another bracha. But when we learn Torah, we make a bracha in the morning for Birchas HaTorah, we go to work, and we come back, and we don't make another bracha. Why not? The answer is this, the real answer. The answer is because the way a Jew is created is, he's always meant to feel disappointed that he can't learn. Got to do many other things in life. And that disappointment, and that concern, and that she'ifa to return to learn, that's enough of a connection to the mitzvah that you didn't lose the bracha. It's not true by sukkah, it's not true by lulav. A person's wanted their whole life in a sukkah, their whole life in lulav. But a person wants to be connected to the Torah. And therefore, when one leaves and walks away from the Torah, the Vilnagoyen says, one should always feel Masai Oshuv Lesefer. When would I get back to the Sefer? When I have a chance to return? And that connection determines, Ad Kedekach, the bracha still stays alive, because you're connected. So that's the first thing I'm saying. We need to take advantage of the limited time we have for Avodas Hashem to do it seriously. It's incredible to me that people stand in shul and they're looking at iPods and what they're doing, what they're studying, emails during. It's incredible. Many Rishonim hold that the repeat of the Shema Nesra is the main Shema Nesra. The Rambam Shita is Tfilo B'Tzibur is when the Shliach Tzibur says, not when you daven with 10 people. But when the Shliach, you answer Amen to the Bracha Shita, it's more powerful than your own davening. And it's a Chilul Hashem, you're looking at going to a Shia and people, I give a Shia and people studying under the table, some sort of email. Joke, what are you making a joke of this? That's not called Ruchnius. So that's the first thing we need to know. The second thing we need to know is the following. This is Rabbi Summers has always introduced Musa learning in this shul, takes it seriously. It's one of the few places in the world where I can mention this word without looking like a freak. So it's like, a person needs to take out time to evaluate. Self called self, I'm going to get older. Whether I'm going to become 30 from 20, or 50 from 40, or 80 from 60, I'm going to get older. And believe it or not, one day I'm going to leave the world. When I'm going to leave the world, I'm going to turn around and look back and I'm going to say, so what did I do with my life? What did I do with my life? As everyone knows, no one's going to regret, I mean, not, maybe they are, out there they are, but no one's going to regret they missed an email or they missed a chance to text somebody about the next pizza store. You're going to regret that. You're going to regret the opportunities of chapping mitzvahs by the Nazir. But we're carried away in the meantime with the Nourishkeit. So the answer to that is musik. The answer to that is taking time every day. Even 1 minute a day is better than nothing. To ask yourself just a question, what's going on? And each day try once, one time when you're about to do some stupidity that's inconsequential, not to do it. One time you wanted to browse the internet, don't do it. One time you want to send a text that's not essential, don't send it. One time, just don't do it. Once a day, it's a huge thing. You're alive. You have sense chushim. You have ruchnis tikka chushim. There's more important things to do. Try and say an extra capital tilim every day. Try and learn one mishnah a day you didn't do before. Not learn 20,000 things. Try and say to yourself, I try to add one mishnah. I don't know how to learn mishnah. Call up the phone lines. I don't know which they are. The phone lines have mishnahis on them. You can get a mishnah on the phone. You can get a download of mishnahis. You can listen to it in the car. Begin to develop a value for chashivas v'ruchnis. Then we'll understand what it means, churban beis hamikdash. Churban beis hamikdash means we live in this cesspool. That's what churban beis hamikdash. You live in a cesspool of people who lost the sense of what it means to be a person. Who have no sense. I'm not talking about tznius al pi halacha. I'm not discussing tznius al pi halacha. I'm talking about tznius vis-a-vis the animal. People who have any sense of modesty more than an animal. Maybe less than an animal. Have any sense, people are billboards for tattoos. The only time I've got enough place to put the next tattoo. People walk around like clowns. It's a mokum where people have lost the tzelem elokim. And there you lose your Yerushalayim. That's because the richuk of the Beis Hamikdash. There's no godliness in the world. Beis Hamikdash brings godliness to the world. So if he does have tzar, how can we live in the world without a Beis Hamikdash? That's the ultimate thing a person wants. To take away all these tremendous, tremendous devaluing and unpleasant experiences and fill them with toif, fill them with good, fill them with beauty. That's the binyan beis hamikdash. So Baruch Hashem should help us that we should be zeicher, that we should be able to take something away from this Tisha B'Av. It's getting, everything is very, very serious. The whole world economy hangs on a string, on a thread. If there's no real economy, there'll be, you know, it'll just be Armageddon. It'll just be, you know, who knows what'll happen in the world? And every country is teetering around bankruptcy. And Eretz Yisrael in sakona atzuma shein kumayu. And every kid who grows up is in sakona shein kumayu. So what the Rebbeinu wants to see that we really honestly care about it, that we care. There should be a ruchni that bothers us. Ki choylas ava ani. And if we take that message from Tisha B'Av, then Mitzvah Shem will be zeicher that this will be the last Tisha B'Av.
Again, we'd like to thank Rabbi Graydon for the beautiful Divrei Chizuk. Also, we want to thank the Green family for sponsoring his shir, the Ilan Nishmas best father, David Hirsch Ben Yaakov. Ritz Hashem Mincha will be at 1:45, and Rabbi Chapnik will be at 2:30.